Hi, I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. We are back.
Hello.
Hello. Haley, I am of the understanding that we have been receiving some emails, some good ones, you know, non-threatening ones for you.
Listen, I haven't had a threatening email in a minute.
I like that.
I'm feeling a little neglected.
No, we are not encouraging that. No. But tell us about the email that you got recently.
Sorry, I'm eating some popcorn.
Oh, so by the way, I went to Sam's Club and spent over $300. But anyway, I found this bag of like salty and sweet, like caramel and popcorn thing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It's so good.
It's huge. And it was like $4.98. Great deal. And I thought, Haley and I need this.
There are 29 servings in this bag.
And we will take all of them this evening.
Which means that we can probably get like 3 uses out of this bag.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll save it for next week and then we can come back and enjoy it as well.
Okay.
It's really good.
So I want to read this email because we've been getting this email. But it kind of confuses me because the name that pops up in the email is not the name that's in the email. So I'm just going to read the email.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It says, "Hey, y'all. I had to email you and tell you I'm not an alien, an anesthesiologist, or a robot, unfortunately."
Hey. Which, well, I mean, it's all right.
Clearly,
neither are we.
She's, you know, listened well to
good
the
job.
Podcast. Just a squishy human. Also same.
Aw.
My name's Tess. I was born in Lincoln County, Wyoming. And now through a series of impulsive decision, I'm not going to say exactly where she lives, lives in Kentucky.
Nice.
"From the affectionate disgust you two joked about, quote, young love, in the preview of the alien abduction episode, I have to tell you that I moved across the country for a boy, as one with an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex does."
Yeah, I get it.
I understand. "I never thought I'd love a place more than the Teton Mountains. But over the course of the 2 years I've lived here, I've fallen in love with Appalachia. First off, I'm a little bit of a weirdo, and I have a morbid curiosity with true crime."
Same. We say in unison.
"I've been doing research into true crime related to Eastern Kentucky as of late, and I absolutely love that you guys cover cases that are more obscure. This is going to sound disrespectful. Sorry if it does. But I get bored of the bigger cases being overdone." Which, like,
I hear that.
"I especially love the really old 1800s cases."
Nice. Thank you.
Those are some of my favorite too. "I currently live in an actual haunted house and I've had lots of ghostly experiences living there. I've only listened up to the alien abduction episode of 2021 so far. Sorry, we apologize. So I have no idea if you guys are still accepting fan stories or not."
Always.
"Always. Let me know if you are. We are letting you know now."
Always.
"Always. I also wanted to ask if either of you knew the story of Screaming Rock in Knott County, Kentucky. And I looked it up and I can't find anything on it."
Oh, interesting.
"But she said her boyfriend's cousin recently told me the history behind the folklore / ghost story. It happened on the road that used to be a main highway between Vest, Kentucky and Breathitt County? Breathitt? I don't know. Kentucky, haven't been able to find anything on it. Neither have I. Because I tried. So if any of y'all know, let us know. Anyway, love your podcast. I also have a plan of how to hide a body. So Haley isn't alone. We could trade tips one murderer to another. I'm just kidding." That was her, not me. She is just kidding. "Have a wonderful day. Tess."
Well, Tess, assuming that you're not a killer. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah, and she's sent us several episodes. I won't read them all.
Well, maybe we should wait, and so maybe we could do some.
Yeah. Okay, so now I'm confused.
Okay.
So, Tess, or, okay, so The name in the email is Mariah, but then she signed this one as Tess, and then there's another one signed as Reggie. Because then it says Reggie again. Tess Mariah slash Reggie, can you please tell us what is going on?
So, are you really lamb? Are you really a murderer? What's going on?
What's going on?
I worry. I have some concern.
I'm just a little sketched out that maybe she is a robot.
Could be.
Or an anesthesiologist.
Yeah. First was a human anesthesiologist.
Uh-huh. And now a robot.
But now a robot. I get that.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. But I just thought her email was really funny. Especially if she's not a real person.
Or an alien.
Or an alien.
Coming down to steal our brains.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, I believe she's real. I just don't understand exactly what's happening with the email signatures.
Yeah.
But if you'll let us know, that'd be great. Okay. Just wanted to share.
So, big shout out to you, you know, Mariah, Tess, Reggie. Yeah.
I hope it's Reggie.
Yeah.
It'll just make my day.
Okay. So, Haley, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, did you ever have any dolls?
Dolls?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can we elaborate on that?
Well, I was just curious. I mean, mm-hmm. I did.
I had Barbies. And I had...
like baby dolls?
I had some baby dolls. I had one and... I had two. I don't know.
One and maybe two.
Maybe two. Yeah, I had baby dolls, had Barbie dolls, had like little plastic... came in like a little house that like folded up and you unfolded it. And
oh, cute. Like a Polly Pocket.
Kind of like a Polly Pocket, okay. But a little more big.
A little bigger.
Like bigger.
Yeah. A little more big.
A little more big.
A little more big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like jumbo Polly Pocket.
Yes.
So I had a doll named Catherine.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my mom had this doll and it's still, I think, under her bed. It's like 3 feet tall. It's like
a walking doll.
Yes. Yeah. That thing is huge. And anytime I'm at her house and I have to like go look for her cats or something because they hide and I'm like, God, my anxiety won't let me leave until I see all of them.
Yeah.
Hers is the same way. So get it honest. But I don't know if it's still there, but used to, I would like lift the bed skirt and like look under there and its face was just in the plastic staring out from under the bed.
Because she wants to keep it in good shape,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's an old... I don't know when she got it. I mean, it had to be, like, when she was a kid.
Yeah. And it could even be maybe her sister's doll.
Yeah, it could
like
be.
Like, older.
Yep. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I had a doll named Catherine. Eventually, her head popped off.
Oh.
You know, yeah. She was one of those kinds. And my mother tells me that I sometimes just carried around the head.
Hmm. Okay. That's
super creepy. Well, or carried around her body.
Without the head?
Without the head.
Should we unpack that a little bit?
I think we should. Okay. I mean, it's going to take a long time.
Maybe not. This may not be the platform. EMDR.
Maybe I should do some tapping. I'm not really sure. Anyway, yeah, that's interesting. But today we're going to talk about a doll.
Okay.
I know that sounds like a weird story, but we're not talking about just any doll. We're going to talk about a... haunted doll.
I didn't know where that was going. I was hoping it was not going...
A headless doll?
I was going more sex doll.
Would I do that in a... Well, I mean... Maybe Patreon.
Maybe.
Well, that's, okay. That's Holly and Haley after dark. Yeah, yeah, so we'll maybe.
Okay. I feel like I've got a really funny story about a sex doll, jeez, but I don't think I can share it on this platform.
Tell it to me after.
Okay.
I like it. All right. We're headed to Monroe, Connecticut. And I know y'all are like, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be in Appalachia? Well, Connecticut is a state where the Appalachian Mountains fall.
Yeah, it stretches even farther past.
It goes to Maine.
Yeah.
So this state, we really haven't traveled to, but I'm super excited. Yeah. My BFF is from Connecticut.
Oh.
And I love how you spell that. It's like connect.
Connecticut.
Connect. Yep, I love it. So before we dive into the story, I want to give credit to an ATI article written about this case in 2021 by Katie Serena.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to the Occult Museum.
Ooh, can we go?
I would freaking love to. Let's do it.
I'm going to start planning that trip.
We have planned a lot of trips, you guys.
Okay, tell me.
We're going. All right. So this museum is filled with odd contraptions and supposedly haunted memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a place we're going. 100%. So this museum was the brainchild of Ed and Lorraine Warren, who became famous for their work in the paranormal world that started in the 50s.
Okay, hang on. It says it's permanently closed.
What? Why?
I don't know.
I'm troubled by this.
Hang on. It closed because of over-zoning violations. Well, screw the state of Connecticut.
I feel like there's a way to reopen this. Let's move it somewhere.
Be. Okay, we'll keep going. I'm going to keep doing some research.
All right, so Ed and Lorraine were very strict Catholics who believed in the peaceful tranquility of heaven, but also the damnation of hell. As all good Catholics. Exactly. And you know, probably some purgatory in the middle there.
Uh-huh.
They felt that God represented good, but believed that demons and demonic forces were placed on earth by the devil. I mean, you know.
Sure.
In 1952, the Warrens founded the New England Society for Psychic Resource, otherwise known as NESPR. NESPR.
This feels like some Ghostbuster shit.
All right. The Warrens and their team would go on to investigate paranormal activity and demonic energies. These investigations included the Haunting in Connecticut House. It's where a big exorcism took place. The Amityville House, which we talked about, or well, we've heard about.
Yes.
And the Perrine family haunting that would go on to be famously depicted in the movie The Conjuring.
Yep.
Ooh,
I can't watch any of those movies.
I cannot do any haunting. Haunting movies, especially like real, like I can't do. I actually, there was a documentary on the haunting in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the crap out of me.
I can do the documentary style ones, but I can't do, like if it's like a true documentary of it, I can do that. But I can't do the like over
reenacted, yeah,
like that kind of like the Conjuring style, like jump scare,
yeah,
scream. I just can't. I can't.
Yeah,
do it.
I can't. Mama, like no,
don't
can't
like
do
it.
Nope. So the Warrens' work has been highly regarded, and their help has been sought out by many families who were plagued with otherworldly energies,
mm-hmm.
who were causing havoc in their lives, their homes, everything.
Yeah.
So in the 50s, the Warrens opened the Occult Museum that displayed some of the items said to be haunted or overtaken by demonic forces.
It is permanently closed.
Maybe it was the demonic force.
It may have been. Like, that zoning committee.
Zoning issues, rat bastards. So things in the museum include a Ouija board, lamps, and other artifacts.
Ooh.
But one of the most peculiar items in this creepy museum is a doll by the name of Annabelle.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Annabelle is kept in a glass case
mm-hmm.
with a crucifix above it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sign on the case that warns, quote, positively do not open.
Okay.
So, you know, there's your warning.
Okay.
Haley, you ready to learn about Annabelle and her history? How she got into the little museum?
Sure.
The crucifix alone kind of does it.
Yeah.
But then the sign helps. So
it does.
There's a lot of fear that goes on with this
mm-hmm.
doll.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In 1970, a young nurse by the name of Donna, I've also seen her noted as Deidre elsewhere, but for the most part, I'm going to call her Donna.
All right.
Yeah, well, Okay. It's a little easier.
Yeah.
So Donna was celebrating her 28th birthday. And for her birthday, her mother gave her a brand new Raggedy Ann doll.
I loved Raggedy Ann.
With red yarn for hair mm-hmm. as a gift. Kind of an odd choice for a 28-year-old.
It is. I think I got a Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy, the boy version.
Yes.
I got both of them when I was 6, 7.
Yeah, my brother and I had it when we were like itty-bitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Again, odd choice for a 28-year-old nurse.
Yep, odd.
But whatever. Who are we to say?
Right.
Anyway, so Donna would put the doll on the living room couch. And so every morning before she left for work, you know, had the doll there. When she would return, however, she would find the doll in a different position than she'd put her in.
Like so, slumped over?
Yeah. So normally the doll was placed like on her back, sitting upwards, you know, like on the couch, like you would almost sit on a couch. Mm-hmm. She would often be found upon return on her side with her legs crossed. Which is not, you know, it's situation she'd put her in. Exactly.
Right.
So Donna thought, ha ha ha, my roommate Angie is playing a trick on me.
Mm-hmm.
Angie was also a fellow nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought, she's trying to screw with me. So she confronted Angie and she said, Angie, what is the deal? And Angie said, what are you talking about? Why would I mess with your doll? And also, again,
why do you have a doll in our living room?
You're 28. Why the hell do you have a doll
from our living room?
I was trying to get busy with my boyfriend, and you had your damn doll there, and it freaked me out. Exactly. Exactly. So, obviously, she's like, okay, so mm-hmm. not you. That's kind of weird. And then, but, you know, you chalk it up to maybe I didn't remember how I put her, you know, whatever. So, eventually, though, the doll begins moving from one room to another. Mm. And again, Angie said, I didn't move your doll.
So when you set that thing on fire.
I think so.
And you just burn it down.
We're about to, they should have, because we're about to learn a little bit more about the doll. Donna continued to place the doll on the living room couch, but often found her on her bed with the door closed.
Okay, so listen. Even if you think the roommate is doing it, when weird shit like that starts happening,
yeah,
we don't just laugh that off.
We get freaked out.
We don't say, ha, 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 how funny. Angie's doing this. Angie's like, dude, I'm not doing it. If I'm Angie, I'm out of there.
I am
too. I'm
gone.
I'm 100% out of there. I'm moving out.
Exactly.
Gone. With whoever boy I hooked up with last week,
we're moving in. We're married.
We're now connected.
Exactly. For life.
I'm gone.
Absolutely.
Or I'm setting fire to the place.
Or at least the doll.
At least the doll.
Yeah.
If I'm Donna or Deidre.
One of the D's.
I'm getting rid of that thing.
Yeah.
Why would you keep that in your home?
I would not.
Like, even if it was a gift, what, from her grandmother? Is that what they said?
Her mom.
Her mom. Sorry, Mom. I'm burning your gift.
On fire.
I lit your gift on fire. It was exactly. Doing weird, creepy stuff.
Exactly.
I agree. Could have been solved so fast.
Oh, 100%. But we wouldn't have this story.
We wouldn't, but it angers me. Okay, proceed.
But, I mean, would the doll have, like, risen from the flames? I mean, who knows?
Well, who knows, but we gotta try.
We gotta do something here, because it's getting scary. So one day, Donna and Angie came home to find parchment paper all over their apartment. There were notes written on each one of the papers. Some of the wording said things like, quote, help me. Help us.
Gone. I'm gone.
So
I open the door. I'm like, alrighty, well, that's enough of that. Light a match, toss it in, close the door, walk on out.
It seems like, you know, the doll or something, you know, took the parchment paper in the house and wrote on it and put it, you know, there for them to find. Here's a problem. They didn't have parchment paper in the house.
Also, in that, like, my first thought is not going to be, oh, the doll's doing this. My first thought is, we have some creepo stalker living in our walls.
Or I would think, like, maybe, because, you know, they probably were renting an apartment. So maybe the landlord's coming in, screwing with you.
Again, get out of there.
Same. I mean, that is true.
Stop,
like, why
living there.
Why wait? Get out. Soon, the doll began leaking what appeared to be blood.
So now the dog's peeing on things, or? bleeding on things?
But bleeding, yeah, like the doll is bleeding. So at that point, you're not saying, I think I need to burn this thing, I think I need to leave. Like, we've given you chances here with the parchment paper mm-hmm. and all the other things, but now the thing is bleeding?
If I'm the doll, I'm getting pissed. So I'm like, I've given you all these signs.
Exactly.
All these opportunities to either return me to where I came from or set me on fire.
Y'all are dense. Like, get with it.
I don't feel bad for these people.
So one day, Donna / Deirdre's boyfriend, his name was Lou, he was staying over and he fell asleep on the couch.
An idiot.
Lou, I don't even know how you would feel so calm to sleep.
Why are you there?
She's probably relayed to you the story.
Right.
But you fall asleep anyway.
Okay.
When he woke up, the doll was facing him and he felt a pain coming from his chest. Opened his shirt and found bloody claw marks.
I'm gone.
Within a few days, however, the claw marks had disappeared as if they had never been there.
I mean, that is how things heal.
Not that quickly.
That is the healing process.
But claw marks within a day or two? That's, no.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't break the skin.
I don't know. Another article I read said that Lou was awake and had heard rustling through the apartment. And when he looked around, he found the doll lying face down on the ground. But no one had moved the doll. It had just moved itself.
So did Lou just roll over and say, it's fine? Or did Lou leave?
I think Lou was concerned. He shared his concerns with Donna / Deirdre and Angie, who called a medium in. He's like, you know what? We're dealing with the paranormal here. Let's call in a medium. That wouldn't be my first go-to. My first go-to is leave the doll in the apartment and run.
Right. I mean, that is rule number one.
What you're wearing. Just
get
it
out.
Yep. You don't need any of that stuff.
You leave that doll. And then you call, maybe from a secondary location, you exactly. call the medium and you're like, hey, there's some freaky shit going on.
Exactly.
You gotta get up there. You're calling a medium. You need to call a priest. You need to call a Jewish man and I don't know who, a rabbi.
Jewish man.
And
Mr. Wallowitz, come down, please.
Literally, like, anybody. What? Like, I'm trying to hit all my religions here.
Just a Jewish man may not do it. No, I think
I need
one.
A rabbi.
Yeah.
I need a full rabbi. I need a shaman. I need a
someone with a Torah.
Someone with a Torah. I need someone of the Muslim faith.
Yes.
Leader of that something, roll on in. We need everybody. We got to cover all the bases.
Exactly.
All of them.
Yes, we do. We do.
We need to sage that place.
We do.
We probably just need to burn it down.
Holy water. We need a lot. We need a lot going on here. Yeah. We need a lot of good vibes to.
And then maybe just a random Jewish man.
And a random Jewish man, if he's available. Come on down.
Let him know.
Yeah. We'll post it. So. Yep. They didn't listen to Haley.
Oh,
they called in the medium to come into their home that they were still staying at. Okay. And the medium said, you know what we need? We need a seance.
I mean, I get it that not everybody can just up and move, but I'm sorry, I'm sleeping in my car.
I would go back to my mommy's house, the one who bought me the damn doll, but maybe she's got dolls at her house. I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
It's
I don't
crazy.
Trust mom anymore.
I don't trust her either. She brings that stuff in. Mm-mm. So they held the seance.
Okay.
And the medium told the young women that the doll was possessed with the spirit of a deceased 7-year-old girl named Annabelle Higgins.
All right.
All right. Well, Annabelle had apparently been killed and her body was found at the site where the apartment would later be constructed years later.
Okay, so maybe mom didn't give her the haunted doll. The spirit was already there and just...
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Sure. So, took hold of the doll.
Sure.
The medium claimed that Annabelle was a kind and benevolent spirit who just wanted to be loved and cared for.
So why are you scratching people?
Well, Donna and Angie felt badly for the spirit called Annabelle and began holding her and rocking her.
Set that thing on fire.
Unfortunately, their care was making things worse. You see, the energy of Annabelle was becoming evil, and the women wanted to rid their home of her presence because it was unsettling.
It took us that long to get to that.
And I'm sorry, but somebody who has clawed your boyfriend, you're now hugging and cuddling and, like, mommying.
I mean, is this, like, a case of mass hysteria? Like, are these people okay? Mentally?
It doesn't say otherwise. So,
all right.
We'll get into more about the doll. Okay. So, they called in an Episcopal priest.
Oh, the Episcopals. We forgot about them. And they had to line up.
See, you went Catholic on me.
I went Catholic. I should have gone Episcopal.
You went Catholic. You went random Jewish guy.
I got the rabbi eventually.
Exactly. You got there. I brought you the Torah.
Should have gone Episcopalian.
Should have gone Episcopalian. Catholic light. So, Catholic Father light. Hagen called his superior, Father Cook. After assessing the home, Father Cook said, you know what? We need some paranormal experts. So he called Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I mean, when the Episcopalian priest is having to be like, listen.
We need some support.
I can't do whatever this is. So we got to call in
the paranormal folks.
The Ghostbusters people over here. Yeah.
When Ghostbusters meet God, nothing can stop them now. Coming to a theater near you.
Oh my God, Ghostbusters and Jesus team up.
Hello, my son. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on, Jesus, get with it. Yeah.
This is sacrilegious.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm not offended.
When Jesus meets Ghostbusters.
I like it.
Magic will happen.
It's clearly, it didn't here.
Magic will go away. So the Warrens felt that Donna and Angie, like I said, were making things worse by coddling Annabelle and giving her their sympathy.
Yeah, probably.
They thought that there was a demonic force in search of a human host within Annabelle. So it wasn't this benevolent, oh, little girl spirit. The Warrens talked about this case and stated, quote, spirits do not possess intimate, inanimate objects like houses or toys.
I hope they don't possess intimate objects.
Inanimate or intimate.
That's when the sex doll comes in.
That's another episode.
Full circle.
I'm sure it is. My side hurt. My thoughts went in some really dark places, and none of them were demonic. All of them were extremely inappropriately sexual. Okay. All right. So they can't possess houses or toys, but they possess people. So an inhumane or inhuman spirit can attach itself to a place or an object. And this is what occurred in the Annabelle case. This spirit manipulated the doll and created the illusion of it being alive in order to get recognition. So truly, the spirit was not looking to stay attached to the doll. It was looking to possess a human host.
Get out of there.
I'm saying.
Why are we still here?
Why are we still here? This makes no sense. Leave the damn apartment.
Yeah.
Leave.
Get out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Take your sex doll and beat it.
Hit the road.
Oh, God. Sorry. Oh,
I didn't even catch it.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right if you're slow. The audience was maybe with me. I don't know. All right.
Oh, my God. We've talked about Jesus and Jewish people and sex dolls all in this episode.
And
this
masturbation.
This is a email waiting to happen.
And I'm down for
it.
I'm
so ready for it. We'll read it aloud.
Sorry,
next
there
time.
Was other. I was going to say that's what she said. All right.
Okay.
Here
okay.
we go. Immediately, wow. The Warrens documented what they believe were signs of demonic possession, including things like teleportation with the doll moving on its own.
Ooh.
materialization with the like parchment paper note thing that was happening. And again, the parchment paper, they didn't even have it in the apartment. So how did that happen?
That's weird.
And their, quote, mark of the beast with the claw marks on Lou's chest.
All right, Lou.
So subsequently, they ordered an exorcism of the apartment to be performed by that Episcopalian priest.
He's back in.
Father Cook, Father the supervisor.
Cook's back in.
He's back. So they took Annabelle out of the apartment during the exorcism. Because remember, again, it wasn't the doll necessarily. They thought that it was the demon in the apartment. Exactly. Okay, that took Annabelle. So
amazing.
They moved Annabelle to her final resting place in the occult museum in the hopes that, you know, demonic reign would finally end. Anyway, following Annabelle's removal from Donna and Angie's apartment, the Warrens documented several experiences that they had with the doll. Yeah, so they took her and the exorcism began.
Okay.
They buckled Annabelle into the back seat of their car.
Oh my God.
And decided, you know what? If she were to decide that she was going to cause mischief while we're driving, maybe we shouldn't take the highway. So they decided, let's take like some back roads because God forbid she like drove us into a semi or something.
I want to take my chances on an interstate where there are lots of people.
It's true.
I mean, I don't want to take anybody else out.
Right.
But, like, if I have to crash into the barrier or something, I'd like somebody to get me out of there.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to go down some dark, windy path.
I agree. I actually agree with you.
This sounds like a terrible idea.
It sounds like a terrible idea. I agree.
Okay.
So, as they were driving through the back roads, obviously, Mrs. Warren claimed that the brakes stalled or failed multiple times, resulting in near-disastrous collisions and crashes. Mrs. Warren claimed that as soon as her husband pulled holy water from his bag and doused it on the doll, the problem of the brakes disappeared and everything was fine.
Why did no one burn the doll?
Where's the random Jewish man?
I feel like if we hadn't trusted Episcopalians.
Whoa.
And paranormal investigators and just gone with the rabbi. Maybe this would have turned out different.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against Episcopalians.
Bring in our moil.
Clearly.
Have a little wine, do the circumcision.
Your approach did not help the situation.
No.
Maybe we should punt that over to another religion. Let them give it a go.
Yeah. Say, listen.
What's the worst that could happen?
We gave it our best.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, it's okay. It's okay to say we didn't succeed.
Yeah, that maybe this was not for us.
Nope.
And we're just going to let the next religion down
batter
the line.
Batter up.
Just in rotation.
Exactly.
Yep, you can hop back at the end of the line.
Well,
you can try
we'll be
again
back.
In a minute, but let's let somebody
end
else have
line,
a go.
End of the line, Leroy. Just flip. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah. They took the back roads and had issues with the brakes until little Ed pulled out his holy water. Then suddenly everything's fine.
Well, so maybe the Episcopalians were onto something. If the holy water worked.
Could be.
All right. I'm back team Episcopalian.
But remember, the Warrens themselves are Catholic.
Ooh.
There you are.
I'm back
there
home.
You
okay.
are.
I'm team Catholic now.
All right. So they finally get back home and the Warrens place the doll in Ed's study, his little library.
Why would you put it in your house?
Well, I guess they were like, I don't know where to put it, so they put her in there.
Burn it.
Again, I guess they for themselves wanted to see, is it really,
fine.
You know. So they reported that the doll levitated and began moving throughout the house.
Absolutely not.
Even when they placed it in the locked office of an outer building, like almost like a shed of sorts, outside their house, they claimed that she would turn up inside the house.
No.
Like, yeah. Finally, they were like, okay, we have got to do something with her. We're going to lock her up for good. Why you don't burn her, still don't know. But I guess
maybe if it's like
she's burned, she can still, you know,
inhabit
something else.
Yeah, or release the demon.
Maybe.
Maybe we just
and I mean, demons them. Like fire, so that would probably make them happy. I don't know.
Yeah, but then maybe it would leave you alone.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right.
All right. So Ed and Lorraine had a specially made glass and wood case that they had inscribed the Lord's Prayer on and St. Michael's Prayer. So for the rest of Ed's life, he would periodically say a prayer over the case, ensuring that this like evil spirit remained trapped in this case. And since being locked up, Annabelle the doll hasn't moved, and it's alleged that her spirit has found ways, however, to reach out to the earthly plane. One time, a priest was visiting the museum, and he picked up Annabelle and discounted her like belief, her demonic abilities, was like, nah, like, this is BS, like, it's just a damn doll, basically. Yeah. Ed was like, no, like, don't mock her, like, don't mock the power, like, Annabelle is filled with demonic energy here. The priest was young and was like, ha ha, you're hilarious, like, that shit ain't real. On his way home, the priest was involved in a near-fatal car crash that completely totaled his brand new car. He also claimed that he saw Annabelle in his rearview mirror right before the accident. Yeah.
Okay, I have questions.
All right.
So, they're saying... We're going to back up.
Okay.
They were saying that the demon was in the house and had just channeled through Annabelle. So the whole point was to take her out and rid the demon from the house. So when did the demon get back in the doll?
So I guess they thought if we remove the doll, there's nowhere for this spirit to cling to, that it just... But we'll exorcise it.
It just went with her.
Yeah, so I think that they thought, oh, we'll exorcise the house, but actually it went with the doll.
Okay.
Yeah, so it didn't end up working. I guess they thought it's either inside the home or it's inside the doll. So if we take the doll out of the equation and leave it within the home, mm-hmm. we'll exorcise the home and everything will be fine. The only thing is, when they took the doll out, it went with the doll. So their exorcism proved futile because it was with the doll. So creepy. Anyway, years later, another visitor was like tapping on the glass of Annabelle's case and laughed at how silly and stupid people were to believe in this story. As he was driving home, he reportedly lost control of his motorcycle, crashed headlong into a tree, and was killed instantly. And his girlfriend, who was on the back of the motorcycle, like barely survived.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, maybe not.
Maybe don't taunt the demon.
Yeah, don't taunt the demon. Apparently, at the time of the accident, the couple had been laughing about the Annabelle doll.
I mean,
that's also hard to do on a motorcycle, though. Like, can you hear me? Ha 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 ha! That was hilarious. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not laughing at the doll or discrediting the doll.
Don't.
What I am doing, though, is saying that the people who allowed this thing in their home are idiots.
Or scientists who are looking for...
Don't put demons in your house.
I agree. That's why I rarely invite Haley here.
It's, it's hit or miss every time.
No, you're lovely.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So, over the years, Ed and Lorraine continued to tell these tales about the Annabelle doll and all of her powers. And however, though, the issue is that none of the stories could be corroborated.
Right, of course.
Exactly. The names of the young priests, the motorcyclists, were never really divulged. Neither Donna, a.k.a. Deidre, Angie, like the two nurses, they never came forward with their story. Neither Father Cook or Father Hagen appeared to mention this in their exorcisms or ever of her, so we don't know. It would have appeared that Ed and Lorraine's word of any of this, like, we're not really sure if that took place, but they talked about it, like, nonstop.
Well, they were into all kinds of stuff. Like, they were. They're the people who you call in, like, the Ghostbusters.
Hardcore, yeah. Like, they're like the demons.
They are the people.
Yep. They have since both died, and their legacy is being carried on by their daughter Judy and her husband Tony Spira. Until his death in 2006, Ed Warren considered Spira his demonology protege and entrusted him with continuing the work and caring for his occult artifacts.
Mm. Well, he clearly didn't do a great job because it's closed.
I know. Maybe a zoning issue.
It's
yes.
The demon's fault.
These artifacts include Annabelle the doll and her protective case, echoing the warnings of his predecessors. Spear cautions visitors, visitors that don't happen anymore, of Warren's occult museum and about Annabelle's powers. Asked if it was dangerous, he says, quote, "Yes, it is the most dangerous object in this museum." Despite such claims, Ed and Lorraine have a pretty complicated relationship with the truth, apparently. Mm. An investigation by the New England Skeptical Society.
What?
I love that. The NESS proved that artifacts in their museum were mostly fake or fraudulent, citing doctored photos, exaggerated storytelling.
So they say.
Right.
They're skeptics.
That's what skeptics do.
That's what skeptics do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let us have this.
For those who still doubt the Annabelle doll's power, Spira likens disturbing her to playing Russian roulette, saying, "There might be just one bullet in the gun, but would you still pull the trigger? Or would you just put the gun down and not take the risk?"
I'm going to go with that option.
I say the latter.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fears surrounding Annabelle the doll, and it flared up in August of 2020 when reports surfaced that she had escaped from the occult museum, which I wrote down here, closed down temporarily due to zoning issues in 2019, but apparently haven't reopened as of yet. So rumors are spreading on social media, you know, blah, 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 about the doll, you know. Annabelle's alive, Spira assured everyone. Well, I shouldn't say alive. Annabelle is here in all her infamous glory. She never left the museum. I guess she shouldn't.
No, we should keep her there.
Locked up forever. Mm-hmm. But to just kind of hint that, you know, all the fears are real. Annabelle has terrified everyone for 50 years and, quote, "I'd be concerned if Annabelle really did leave because she's nothing to play with." End quote. Yeah, I think I'm good.
I mean, there were a lot of choices made in this story.
Number one, let's just start from the beginning.
Okay.
Why does a 28-year-old need a doll?
I mean, I feel like that's where
that
it
is
all
not
begins.
a doll for any kind of pleasure.
Mm. I mean, people collect dolls, right?
They do.
It's just creepy.
Yeah.
If you collect dolls, I'm sorry. It's weird.
It's you would be on like the My Strange Life addiction shows.
I mean, I get collecting things.
Stamps.
Right. Dolls just freak me out.
Me too. Coins. That would be nice.
Snow globes.
Yeah.
Postcards.
Coffee cups.
Mm. T-shirts.
Mm.
Even.
Stickers.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Maybe not dolls.
Magnets.
Magnets are a good one.
Yeah. Magnets maybe not dolls.
Maybe not dolls.
Yeah. No. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Although, I still wish the museum was open because I think
I do
be
too.
Fun.
I'd like to go visit. We cannot take anyone skeptical with us, though.
No. Nope. No,
we
no,
have
no.
Nothing but respect when we walk into there.
We're not worthy, you know.
I'm
we just
not
all
playing.
The things.
I'm not
no.
playing with that.
I'm not risking my life.
Mm-mm.
Heck
nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nope. Nope. So, I mean, that is the story of Annabelle. And, you know, this is actually good timing because we're very close to Halloween.
We are.
You know,
really
it is. It is the 19th of October.
Woo.
So yeah, we're not far off. So, ooh,
spooky,
spooky. So, y'all, if you have heard the Annabelle story, you know, obviously there's films made out of it and everything. But if you have heard any spooky stories, anything related to that, if, you know, you knew of the Warren family or something, mm-hmm. please feel free to reach out to us via email, tell Haley directly, whoever you are, whatever name you go by.
Yeah, whoever you are.
Whoever you are.
Let us know.
At mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia and Patreon. Patreon.com/mountainmysteries. That's where you get bonus content. Holly and Haley After Dark. We talk more about those special dolls. Yeah, it's a good time.
Oh my God.
All right. Haley, do you have a shout out?
Sure. Let's do Prairieville, Louisiana.
Prairieville, Louisiana. Thank you for listening.
I like it.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great week.
See ya.
Bye.